Do you know anything about Akon?
I fear, I'm afraid I don't.
No,
he,
no.
He seems to come with the standard uniform of the Hippity Hoppity Brigade.
What is up? It is the wonderful time of 6 p.m. You're here with Sean Harbottle's Hippity Hoppity Brigade. Hope you're having a good time. Hope you're just, you know, vibing. Or maybe you're having a bit of a crisis because you've got so much work and your professor literally assigns you 40 pages of essays. Oh dear. But anyway, this is Sean Harbottle's Hippity Hoppity Brigade. Special episode today. Live, I am airing two of the interviews that I've been doing behind the scenes. I tried to upload them as a blog post, didn't work, just gonna spin them back here. The first one is with a duo called Rushton and Diamonds. If you like chiptune, if you like 90s nostalgia, 80s angst, any of that stuff, you're gonna love this interview. I'm gonna play a few clips of their tracks, but mainly we're just gonna be talking about their upcoming Rushton and Diamonds collab album. Their new album, Just Outside the Box, well, their newest album, Just Outside the Box, is out on Bandcamp. Check that out. After that, after the break, we will be checking out my interview with Rocky Tirade, a wonderful guy that I met just a few days ago and had the absolute pleasure of interviewing. So both of these interviews are quite long, but I would encourage you to stick around and listen to them because they do some interesting stuff. And I play a light peppering of their tracks here and there. So you're going to love it in any case. Up first, this is the Rushton and Diamonds interview, courtesy of Sean Harbottle's Hippity Hoppity Brigade. We hope you enjoy. You're listening to CITR 101.9? Yes, 9. Let's go. You are back with Sean Harbottle's Hippity Hoppity Brigade on CITR. I didn't realize that the song ended. I was in conversation with two wonderful guys who are with me now, Michael and Rob. How's it going, guys?
What's up?
Very cool introduction. You played that off very nicely, I must say. So we got Lord Diamonds, Robert.
Yes.
And we've got Mike Rushton in the studio. So I talked about you guys a little bit before. But I basically said that, like, when you guys sent me an email through Volunteer Media, your label, check it out, Bandcamp, I got the email and I thought, oh, right, it's going to be some, like, you know, like, kind of just so someone doing bars over, like, I know, a Drake beat or something. And then I listened to, like, it was Dom Henley, and I was like, what is this? What's going on? And then I listened to Michael Rushton's album, and I was like, all right, this is... What a mix. Yeah, exactly. So it was quite the experience, but I'm glad I did it, because they've got a new album coming out as well, haven't you, sometime soon?
Yes, we do.
What is that called?
So we're currently working on two new solo records right now. So
those are
untitled at the moment, but we're both working on something very special, which is a new Rushton and Diamonds group project.
Yeah.
And even though we have put out a little bit of content here and there as a group, this is the first true sequel to our original record, 2010.
Right.
So we're excited about that.
Right. Cool. That's cool. And I've been enjoying the music a lot. The thing we're going over right now is the remix of Lamborghini Bikini, is a very good song, I must say. So I wanted to ask you first, because we were talking about before, Kanye is in hospital right now, and it kind of got me thinking. Kanye is the first person that got me into hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
I basically was searching, as like a stereotypical white boy, I was searching for Simon and Garfunkel's America to cry white boys' tears to, and then I stumbled upon Who Will Survive in America, which is the outro to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and that got me into hip-hop. But on your album, you use a lot of like chiptune influences, mm-hmm. video games, sort of like 80s, 90s sheen. What was the kind of thing that got you into hip-hop, making this style?
To be honest, my very first like artist that I listened to that I love so much in hip-hop had to be Warren G.
Oh, Regulate.
Yeah, it was my favorite. I loved G-Funk era so much.
Dude.
That was my favorite record for sure. And then I also think another artist that really influenced us as well, I guess I'm speaking for Mike and I both here, but is someone we've worked with quite a bit also named Kool Keith.
Yes, I talked about him as well. I listened to some of his stuff, very abstract stuff.
That's
and,
right.
Like, cool beats and stuff like that. And that really influenced you.
For sure, yeah. So I think I've, you know, from personal taste, kind of fusing some of the more, stuff that's a little bit more commercially listenable, like the Warren G mixed with some abstract stuff like Kool Keith. Definitely there's some influences of that fusion.
That's cool.
And stuff for sure, yeah.
That's very cool. And I mean, like, what I like as well is Kool Keith has this delivery and this kind of tone that like you can't really just sit back and let him play. You kind of have to be like, okay, what's he saying here? And what that's what I liked about your guys' music, because Michael, you use like this very kind of Americanized voice.
Kind I'm of an auto,
yeah. Yeah, you say it so nicely there, and then like on the record, it's like, it was the 4th of July. It's great, but like...
I'm a Gemini, what can I say, man?
Oh, so am I, so am I. All right. But where did that come from? Was that also like your first hip-hop experience listening to American rappers and stuff? Or
I think it was just one of those things, like growing up and watching movies like Roadhouse and, you know, and, like watching all these like real tough guy movies and like... You kind of saw that go away from the media, and I kind of felt like it needed to still be there a little bit.
Because
it's his own thing, and nobody's doing it, so why not?
Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of thing that, like, you run the danger of, like, when someone listens, you're like, what is that? But I really dug it, and it was very cool. So, what I want to say, I've got, like, a list of questions. There's no webcam in the studio. But It's an actual list.
It is.
So, you're working on a very personal project, the sequel to Rushton and Diamonds. What was your recording process like for the first kind of album? Because, like, I have this idea of you guys in the studio, because you've got the kind of auto-ego thing going on, like... Bottles of champagne pop in, bottles of Moe, all that stuff. Was it kind of a crazy sort of process, or was it more of a like sort of focused, we need to get this stuff done right vibe?
That was like a huge organizational project, I think, over a pretty long period of time. Believe it or not, like that record, it came out in 2010, but I think it was like started back in like 2007. So even when that record came to market, it was a really old record. And now it's a really old record to us just because we worked on it for so long. But it was kind of varied through the process, though. Like we were definitely super influenced by everything in the 80s at that time and taking our favorite things from 80s funk and R&B, which is still a huge influence now. So, you know, it was a lot of fun to work on, but also like there's a lot of skits and different things on that record. It's technically a musical.
I think at the end of the day, that was probably the hardest project we've ever worked on. I mean, what was it, 37 songs plus skits for every single song?
Yeah, it was definitely a feat to put it all together. So yeah. I think the new record we're going to work on is definitely going to be a more condensed package than that one, but still, you know, very funky and
cool,
keeping the vibe alive.
I was going to actually ask, Michael, you mentioned like there's skits and like there's a lot of tracks and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, just the first thing I listened to was Robert's Quest, Lord Diamonds, and it has like you've got the Robert's Quest intro, but then you've got I Am Rich on the same song. You've got It's Addicting, but then Lord Diamonds. And Michael, you've also got quite short tracks in your project. Like, they're all about 2 minutes long, apart from Rock Donald's.
Yeah.
Is it a conscious thing for you guys, like, to make shorter tracks and then, like, maybe splice them up? Or is it, like, you go into something and you think, let's take this as far as it can go?
I think it personally just depends on the project. Like, personally, for myself, I think most people can only listen to about 15 straight minutes. it's too insane. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I think you need to sober up a little bit after listening to a project like that. But, I mean, I don't know. What's your take on yours?
Like, I think I get bored of musical ideas. It's kind of like, okay, cool, let's exercise this little idea. And, okay, that's done. So
that's
let's,
done.
And then sometimes I like to, like, splice things together and kind of, like, make a scrapbook almost of music.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I did on Robert's Quest, is just kind of, you know, have a little idea pasted with this idea and... I don't know, just makes it a bit more interesting.
Yeah. Well, I respect that because in my music, certainly, like, I do, like, post-rock stuff, and the tendency is just to go for, like, 10 minutes and be like, all right, that's done. Like, but I respect the kind of commitment to cohesion. So, Michael, you were talking about your project. We're going to break up the interview with a track off Use Your Illusion 3, which you lovingly brought. This is the 15 minutes that you referenced, and this song is called, probably my favorite on the record, Hulk Hogan Cologne, featuring Lord Diamonds, the one and only. So, this is Sean Harbottle's Hippity Hoppity Brigade, Michael Rushton, Lord Diamonds, Hulk Hogan, let's go.
Yes, you are now tuned in and listening to Use Your Illusion 3 Radio. And I'm your host with more effervescent vapors than a ghost, Lord Sapphire with a ruby and crystal on a pearly diamonds. So now that we're all acquainted, why don't you take this time to just sit back and relax as I start you off to listen to the sweet, sweet sounds of the smoothest, Michael Rushton.
It was Laguna Beach in the summertime at 93. The waves were crashing higher ever than your eye could see. Forget the city, this is where I am supposed to be. The surfing big kahuna, Michael Rushton, that's me.
You are back with Sean Harbottle's Hippity Hoppity Brigade. Hope you're having a good time. We are back with Michael Rushton, and Lord Diamonds. How's it going, my friends?
Good.
Fantastic. So glad you're here. We have to end the show in a bit. We've got some shows coming up afterwards, but we will do a part two of this interview. We're going to head over to the studio, record that. I wanted to ask, just as I get the sort of outro of the show started, can you tell us a bit about the characters you've created for Lord Diamonds and Michael Rushton? Because quoting from your mixtape, 2015 AD, it's been over 5 years since the former cop turned rock star turned rap superstar Michael Rushton escaped from the clutches of the infamous Lord Carl Edward Diamonds. So can you guys like talk to me a little bit about the characters you've created for yourselves with your music?
Yeah, do you want me to start off?
Yeah, you can go right
ahead. Sure, okay, yeah, so...
Lord Diamonds on the mic.
Yeah, so Carl Lord Edward Diamonds is a regal lord who seemed to kind of fall into the music industry. And so he's a big player in the music industry. And I don't know if everybody's listening knows the backstory of Rushton and Diamonds, so I'll give a quick little run up. But he essentially signs Michael Rushton to a record deal that he can't refuse. And Michael Rushton is this kind of ex rock star, as you mentioned, ex police officer, cop. And they kind of have an on and off relationship with Michael working for Lord Diamonds, but he doesn't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing because Lord Diamonds has his own weird agenda, so to speak.
That's pretty good. That's a good sum up. I like that. You said that before?
No, never.
Yeah, you just go on the show. It's like, yeah. I got this written out. I'm ready. So you've got like this weird power relationship, like dynamic thing going through the music, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's like they kind of hate each other, I think, but they work with each other.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's like a devil's deal.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Cool. Yeah. So if you want to find out more about the characters, after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the individual characters as well as the label that you guys run, Volunteer Media. A cross between Mozart and Prince and Macbeth. Quarrel in Patonis is completely dead. There's a party up in hell, but you're underdressed. Quarrel in Patonis is completely dead. I'm a rap artist, cause I rap the best. Listen, I'm totally deaf. Can we have your autograph? Well, I beg your pardon. I'm bigger in the game than me girl Jen Arden. We're dressed in tartan and the wigs are powdered. Can you rap a tartan like I do, son? I doubt it. What? I'm so fly, I live. People wanna know. You are back with Sean Harvedal's Hippity Hoppity Brigade, part two of the Michael Rushton Lord Diamonds interview. I'm very sorry, we've been moved to a different studio. You're going to have to share a mic. It's not like you've been in the studio together before, but here we are.
Wouldn't be the first time we shared a mic.
Not at all. So just speak right into it because it's like a little bit quiet now. We want to hear your whole voice. So before the break, we were talking about the Lord Diamonds and Michael Rushton actual characters. Can you tell us more about like how you individually formed them? Because like Lord Diamond seems to be this kind of shady like overlord kind of character, whereas Michael Rushton is this kind of like fuck everything, fuck you, you know, all that kind of thing. Oh, you can't tie me down kind of guy. So how did you guys like formulate those characters? Are they kind of extensions of your personality, or are they like complete kind of like deviations from what you're like as a person?
You know, I think it's just one of those things where the two of us were always joking around. You know, we're always coming up with ideas, and it just kind of seemed like a natural fit to come up with characters of our own, you know, to at least identify who we are and what we're doing. And it just kind of seemed like I mean, we've always enjoyed comedy. Like, I know I have, and I know that you have, Rob. So it's just one of those things where we just decided to put together two characters and just kind of run with it.
Yeah, I was going to say as well, too, like, with the Lord Diamonds character, it was funny when we were first kind of getting into hip-hop. I always liked the art form of hip-hop, and there's always so many kind of characters I always noticed in 90s hip-hop I liked. Like, whenever I heard 90s hip-hop, I would always hear a character voice. Like, Snoop Dogg is a character. Eminem is a character. So
ODB.
ODB.
Like, rah, that guy.
I mean, I love Mystikal. All these artists were such characters. And so I thought when we were kind of jumping into making our own hip-hop, starting with making beats and other little funny songs, I was like, well, what's a character I'd like to jump in with? Because I used to always see rappers from the city where we're from, Vancouver, rap, but it wasn't in their own voice. They'd rap in like almost like a New York rap accent.
I
was like, what? I'm like, this isn't. They'd always say they're keeping it real, but I'm like, that's not really authentic, to some regard. So I said, maybe if I was to like, I'm like, if I was to reference like opulence in hip hop, what would that be? And I'm like, well, I'm like a really like white looking guy. I'm like, what's opulent in like Caucasian culture? I'm like, well, how about the royal whole family. So I kind of went in more with that, and that was my own like interpretation of like a Slick Rick.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's true, because like one of your lines on like I think the first track of Robert's Quest is like on my iPhone Bling or something like that. It's crazy, but
of course.
Yeah. What about you, Michael? Like, because your character is very much this kind of Americanized guy.
Well, I think when I first got into it, I won't lie, I was really into Miami Vice. I think I kind of played up on the whole Don Johnson thing a little bit, but then it wasn't really my identity, so I just started to kind of bring a little bit of other things into it, and somewhere along the line, it just kind of became like a tough guy, dumbass kind of thing.
Kind of like burnt out.
Yeah, burnt out actor. You know, post-traumatic stress disorder, kind of like not really too sure where he's at half the time, but always down to rock.
Yeah, because like what I like about yours is it's like when you started rhyming on the tape, the immediate thing that came to mind was like this kind of Top Gun almost macho image, like where it's like there's this kind of superficial like macho thing, but really he's just like a washed up dude. But like that's cool. And so like you mentioned Miami Vice. Do you guys like did you grow up with that stuff, or was it more like you found it as like teenagers and stuff, and you like took an interest in 80s sheen and aesthetic?
Oh, I definitely grew up in the 80s. I mean, like, I'm definitely a product of that. I would watch everything, you know, so I would check out every little thing that I could. And Miami Vice was definitely a big one for me. And I kind of had a second wave of wanting to watch all that stuff and kind of pay attention to what they were doing, probably about, late 90s, maybe?
Late
90s, early 2000s. And it just kind of seemed like the right thing to do. But again, you know, I wanted to kind of take it a little bit further from that. It was just kind of a jump-off point.
Yeah. Because you definitely do your own weird thing with, like, the music. And I had the same experience with, like, the music I used to listen to and, like, stuff I used to like. Then you have that weird period in, like, sort of 16 to 18 where I'm like, oh, no, I'm past that now. I'm someone else. And then you kind of get back and you're like, no, this is fucking cool. So that's cool, man. I wanted to talk to you. I mean, Rob, you mentioned Caucasian culture. And you also mentioned, like, the way that sort of some Canadian artists will put on this kind of Americanized voice thing. To like kind of sell themselves in a sense. And I was wondering, like, do you get like stereotyped as like a Canadian or white rapper? Do people like come up to you and expect something, and then like you kind of Lord Diamonds is very, very different, but like do people expect something different from you? Then that does that happen a lot?
You know, it's kind of funny. I think that might happen maybe when we're kind of performing for new audiences, maybe even before we perform and kind of do our own thing. But I feel like from like an artist relationship standpoint, we've worked with like a lot of, you know, semi-well-known American rappers who seem to, you know, get what we're doing very well. So I think it just all depends on what situation we get into as well. So, but definitely, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Do you get people who are just like, oh, it's Canadian rap, eh? And all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think we're, you know, once they hear it, they're kind of like, okay, these guys are just on their own tip. They're crazy.
Yeah. That's the thing. You can't like put it against it. Even within the Vancouver rap scene, I wouldn't compare you to any like I was at the Discord hip-hop showcase the other week where you had like Missy D and So Loki and that kind of stuff, but like even then it's completely different sounds than what I've heard from that. So would you agree, Michael? Would you
100%,
like
yeah.
Like I think we definitely are we're cool with everybody in the scene here, and we're friends with, you know, pretty much everybody who's in the Vancouver hip-hop scene. But I don't know if I would say Russian and Diamonds is part of the hip-hop scene.
Okay.
We are, you know, but I would say we're definitely doing our own thing in there.
Yeah.
Not competing within it.
That's true. It's very much like you've got the comedy side as well, and the kind of, like, almost some of, like, the chiptune beats and, like, the rocky sort of side of the Michael Diamonds Use Your Illusion mixtape, at least. So, like,
I think the direction we're going to go is the best way to kind of pinpoint it would be either it's 80s action movie, like, nostalgia music, or, like, funk nerdcore hip-hop.
That was really true. Because, like, some of the tracks is just, like, this kind of total, like, 80s American stuff, and some of them it sounds like kind of, like, vaporwave kind of aesthetic stuff. So, but you draw from both of those kind of sources, like which I like a lot, because it's like you don't get pinned down to one thing. You're like engaging with different styles. That's cool. And you're also part of the Volunteer Media label and collective. And Rob, am I right in thinking that you're the person that runs that?
Mike and I both equally run Volunteer Media.
Oh, right. Sorry, Mike. Rob's the only one who's messaged me on email, so he's the admin guy. But cool. So, like, how did you start that? Like, what was the? Because it's one thing to put out an album, but it's something else to like start running something that has multiple artists and stuff, right?
Yeah. I guess I'll start this off a little bit. Sure. I was just going to mention kind of the breakdown with how we started that is, Mike and I have always had a background in art. Mike working in television for an extended period of time. You said 10 years, I think.
I think it's 11 years now.
Wow. Yeah. So Mike's had a background in television. I went to school for marketing and different things. So, we kind of just figured out what our strengths were. As we both manage things, I've been handling most of the business side of things. Mike has handled anything visual you can think of with the label as well.
Oh.
So, kind of putting our two skills together, that's how we kind of built things up from there.
That's cool. That's cool. Because you kind of need that, relationship of, you got the business, but you got the artistic side. And you kind of need one to balance the other,
exactly.
I find.
Yeah.
And at least my sort of ventures in, music and stuff like that. So, that's cool. And, how do you go about, if someone is listening and they're like, oh, these guys sound effing cool, man. What kind of thing are you looking for when you look to sign an artist? Is it is it just people that you meet and you vibe with creatively? Or is it a specific sort of thing of you hear something and you think, oh, we got to get on that?
I think up to this point, it's mostly been almost a vehicle in order to release music from our friends. Pretty much. Even if we don't hang out with everybody who's on our roster all the time, there's always been some kind of a friend relationship. We're just kind of meeting people and saying, hey, we have a bit of a vehicle to help you assist and push your music out. But now that a lot of these artists, or in some cases, they haven't been career artists, they've just, put out, some key releases. I think we're now getting to the point where we kind of want to taste make a bit and, while still putting out releases from our friends, kind of figure out exactly what we want the label to be and figure out what styles we want. Because we listen to so much different kinds of music. It's not just hip-hop. So
no,
it's hard to pinpoint what we really want the label to be at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Because, so are you in, would you say a transitional period of, you're going from a kind of friends and family sort of, venture and stuff like that to, spread advancing out, would you say that, or are you sort of just keeping within your sort of friends?
Yeah, it's always going to be a friends and family thing, but I also think too that as our style kind of develops and our interests also expand, we got to kind of figure out what other artists we would like to kind of bring on board that we don't already know, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah,
but I think with that being said, though, we're not looking for any particular genre. We're working with everybody that we can work with. I mean, we work with everyone from, a rock band to an electronic group to hip-hop music. We're open to almost anything out there. So if you guys are interested out there, you can definitely drop us a line at info@volunteermedia.ca.
That's cool, man. That's cool. I respect that because, I feel with labels and stuff, sometimes there's this kind of thing we got to keep it cohesive. We got to keep it, this is what we're doing and stuff, and having an openness to your approach to new artists and stuff, I think is very valuable sometimes. So you made it through the first Sean Harvestal Hippity Hoppity Brigade interview. I didn't stumble over my words too much, so thank you for helping me with that. But you've reached the end. Is there anything you'd like to promote or shout out?
Yeah, definitely. Shout outs to Tyler Sky. He's an awesome young artist we have on our label, and he just recently put out a project. Some other friends on the label, Greg Beamish. I know he has a project coming out pretty soon here.
Yeah.
And
Let's say Beats by Lex.
Oh, yeah, Beats by Lex. Beats by Lex has another alter alias. I'm not going to mention his name today, but we're working on a pretty cool solo project right now, too. So Mike's got his solo project coming out. And definitely check out for that new Russian and Diamonds record, because this is going to be the best one.
Yeah?
For sure.
You're saying it now?
100%. So this will be the one.
You heard it here first.
But anyway, you have got through the interview. This has been Sean Harvestal's Hippity Hoppity Brigade, Michael Rushton, Lord Diamonds. Thanks for being here, and we'll speak to you and friends again soon, hopefully. Good night.